Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jason, man.
I let you bang.
Greetings, Marys and Virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I'm waiting for my co-host to show up, Don Fry. I got him on me, though. And I got my buddy, Jared Gooden, here, who he's an hour early. Might be the first time a black person has ever been early in the history of the world. But fuck it. We'll do it. Coming off a huge win. How are you, man?
Man, I'm great, man. I'm not letting CPT slow me down, man. For everybody who doesn't know what CPT is, that's color people time.
Yes, no, hell no, man. And by the way, your last fight, I watched it again, was a war. The guy got you down. He had you in the choke. Were you hurt at all or no?
Hurt, no, sir. That's the best way to explain it is like we get hit in training and sparring all the time. I wouldn't say I was hurt, but it's just the name of the game. I know the commentators have to make it sound more exciting, but no, I wasn't hurt, man. I was in the fire and I love it.
Well, because he had you on the ground and then he was talking shit to you while you were down, like right when you got, right when the round ended, and then you were talking shit back, which is a bold move. A guy who gets taken down and almost and choked. I don't know, I'm not saying almost choked, but you got up and you stared him down. Was that just like, fuck it, you can't finish me? Is that what you were thinking?
Man, yes, and it was just, I know he was upset from yesterday, the day before at weigh-ins, because he was mad I wouldn't shake his hand. Like, people kill me with that. It's like, oh, you gotta show respect, shake their hand, all that. No, man, like, you're standing in front of everything I want. You know what I mean? You stand in front of the house of my mom, help my mom retire. So no, man, I'm not gonna shake your hand. Man, I'll shake your hand when I'm done killing you.
Yeah. So then your second round, you hit a beautiful left hook. Oh, it was good. And you had him wobble. Is that the best feeling in the world? You see somebody's like feet wobble backwards. Is that just like, what's that like?
The best way to explain it is like a shark smelling blood in the water. Like, I love seeing people get hurt, man. And once I see you hurt, I'm not going to stop until you're done, you know? So it was the best feeling. But I'll tell you what, the better feeling that is getting my hand raised, man. Have Bruce Buffer save mine.
I was so happy for you. Hey, Don, can you hear us? Don Fry. All right, Don's still figuring out. Don's on like AOL. You know, he has like a modem. You know, sometimes I think he's better off just yelling out his window, and I have a better shot of hearing him.
Smoke signals.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Oh, there he is. Don, there he is. Don, the legend, Don Fry.
Yeah, I didn't push the button that said... I didn't push it saying it's okay to record my voice. So
okay.
Yeah, okay, everything nowadays.
Jared Gooden, are you a fan of Don Fry?
100%. I'm not gonna lie to you. My face lit when I saw you, brother. How are you doing, Mr. Fry?
Good, sir. How are you doing, man? Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Man, I'm doing better than a legend like you, sir. I'm doing very well, man. Dude,
thank you, sir.
So Jared made it to the UFC.
Thank you, sir.
And then he made it to the UFC. He was killing it. And then he just had some dumb luck. He got a couple guys. Then he got cut from the UFC. He got cut. Then he made his way back to the UFC. Took a fight on 8 days' notice. Lost the decision. Fought again and won a huge win over a stud. Now, how hard was it when you got cut? Did you think, oh man, that's it? It's over?
I honestly did, because my only dream, my goal in life was to get in the UFC, and the best way to explain it was, I was the only way to describe myself who Jared was is I'm a fighter, I'm going to get in the UFC, but I didn't know, like, the best way to describe it is like I went to a really dark part of my life when I got cut, because again, that's all I was, and like I had suicidal thoughts and everything, but thankfully I have my coach and my therapist and everybody taught me back off the ledge, man, and it's only made me stronger. You know what I mean? I believe people need dark times like that just to make them stronger. You know what I mean?
So, I mean, you were alone. Did you have to go back to like a day job? Was it like did were you reading
thankfully I didn't have to go back to a, same thankfully I didn't go back to a day job, but what sucked is I had to move back in with my mom for a couple months. So that definitely sucked, you know what I mean? But again, we're back, so
Right,
we're back
better than ever. You can always count on mom, you know. Mom and dad are always there for you. That's cool.
Well,
And now
Don,
you
after
gotta,
his last fight,
once you see that.
yeah. Well, Don, after his last fight, he bought his mom a house.
Yes, I did.
Oh, awesome, man. That's awesome. That's
Thank
awesome. I wish I could have done that, but
you. Now, Jared, how do you
but
buy a house?
now
Yeah, Jared.
that you met your goal, now that you met your goal of fighting in the UFC, you got to set a new goal, you know, to achieve more in the UFC, to get the gold belt and hang on to it. That was my problem. I would set a goal, I'd meet the goal, and then I wouldn't step up. I wouldn't set another goal, you know, and keep achieving more. You know, I would meet the goal and I'd be happy. So you gotta always set new goals and to achieve and keep climbing higher.
Yes, sir. Hey, again, it's beautifully said, but it's amazing to hear from a legend, sir. Thank you.
Now, Jared, how do you buy a house for $10,000, by the way?
I made more than 10, but best way to explain it is we bought houses off auction, man. That's the best way. Like, I'm not gonna go too deep into it, but yeah, we bought houses off auction.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for you, man. Now, where are you based out of?
I'm
That's
in
cool.
Gwinnett, Georgia, just above Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, man, I'm gonna rep Gwinnett till I die. You know, everybody in Georgia was like, "Oh, I'm from Atlanta." I love Gwinnett, man. Gwinnett's raised me. I've been out here for 23 years. When I shine, they're shining.
Now, I just watched that Freaknik documentary. Please tell me that your mom wasn't a part of the Freaknik because she's about that age. Did 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 you?
You threw me off with that one, man. Hey, I'm not gonna lie to you. What's funny is what's cool about my mom is like me and her could talk about anything. We've said wild stuff to each other, so like, look, she hasn't told me she was a part of this, so, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, okay. Because people are recognizing their aunts and their pastors and their parents now. And there's a whole generation of people going, wait a minute, that's my pastor, getting down in Freaknik. So I'm just wondering. I know that was in Atlanta, right?
I believe so, yes, sir. What's funny is me and my sister's 5 years older than me. Me and my sister are both Valentine's Day babies.
Wow.
Because I came 2 weeks late, my sister came 3 weeks late. We're both Valentine's Day babies. That's hilarious to me.
Now, I noticed that your fight, you don't use that much head movement, but I don't think, do you have a neck? Like your neck is like you have
You
because
can't tell.
your head's always like a turtle. And I'm like, but I don't know if he could actually move his head.
I can't turn my neck. I just turn my whole body when I turn. No, yeah, somebody like me, I don't really care to get hit. I know that sounds foolish. My coach even told me to stop saying that, but I don't care to get hit. That's why I don't move my head. There's nothing that anybody's going to bring to me that I haven't already felt and that I cannot dish out better. So bring what you guys got. I'm going to take it and destroy your worst.
I love it. So when's your next fight?
May 11th, we're fighting in St. Louis, baby.
Wow. St. Louis, Missouri. May and who are you fighting?
I'm fighting Kevin Jussé, if I'm saying his last name right. What I know about him is what people keep commenting me about. He's a top 100 best strikers in the world, and so I'm excited to knock him out just because I know I have to get a number after I knock him out, you know. So hey, congrats to him, but it's gonna mean more to me on my record when I knock him out.
Now, did you wrestle in high school and college?
No, I wish I did, man, but my mom wouldn't let me.
Your mom, so did you play football or?
So thankfully, yes, sir. Yeah, I played growing up. I played baseball, basketball, and football. Football was my main thing. I love defense. I love hitting people. There's nothing like it. You know me? That's why I'm a fighter now.
Yeah. So when did you start training?
I started training at 17 years old, which is funny. That's 2 years after I gave up on football. The reason I don't like football, or oh, I don't want to say I don't like. I still watch it and all that. The reason I don't play it anymore is because I realize I'm not a team player. There's a lot of times where I was playing football, we're in the playoffs, and we couldn't make it to the championships because somebody missed their block, somebody couldn't like run the ball, somebody couldn't throw it or catch the ball. So I hated losing because of somebody else. When it comes to fighting, only person I can blame is me. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I hate fighters. They're like, oh, I lost because of my coach. Oh, I lost because of this. No, stupid. It's you. You know what I mean? That's why I like it. When I step in the cage, it's all on me.
Got it. Now, who do you think's going to win, by the way? Mike Tyson or Jake Paul? I know that's a very – who do you think's going to win?
Man, come on now. You know I got to go with my boy Mike Tyson. But I'm pretty sure Jake Paul's going to pay him off. He's like, don't knock me out.
Don, who do you think's going to win?
I got Tyson. If it goes out the first round, it's a setup. You know, Tyson's carrying him. Yeah.
I mean, Don, how old are you, Don? You're 57. How old are you? You're Tyson's age?
Yeah, I'm 58, I think.
So how do you feel as a 58-year-old? Like, how do you think you would do against a guy like Jake Paul? Like, for real?
Oh, you kill him, bro.
I'd have to get my ass in shape for sure. But I'm going now, today.
But how hard would that be for you?
Here it comes.
Yeah, go on, Bill.
You still got one punch knockout power, right? At your age, you have one punch knockout power.
I hope so.
But, like, I'm just saying, because Don, I mean, Mike Tyson looks like, you see, he's putting these, like, 12-second clips up where he's like, day three, and he looks fucking huge, insane, but he's only hitting the thing for 12 seconds.
Awesome. He's awesome.
But at the same time, we're not seeing him spar.
That's all you need.
Yeah, he's right. That's all you need, 12 seconds.
Yeah, that's all Mike Tyson needs, man. Shit. All he needs is, okay, fight, and then how long it takes to walk to the other side of the ring, you know, and hit the guy. That's all he fucking needs.
If Jake Paul knocks out Mike Tyson, I might be done with sports. Like, I may just be done. I seriously may not watch another. Yeah. Go on.
I never even thought of that. I can't even think of something like that.
Well, like I said, didn't think of it. I don't see Jake Paul knocking out Mike Tyson, brother. Like, I believe they're making it like I don't see John McKim knocking out Mike Tyson, baby.
So, Bill, by the way, we're talking to Jared Nightrain. Yeah. I know you're late, Bill, because you slept all day. I think you're sick or something, right? You don't even know what day it is. But Jared Nightrain Gooden, I knew him back when he was in Titan FC. He was fucking everybody up. I was a fan of him then. He got into the UFC. He fought Alan Jouban on like a day notice. It was a good fight, though. It was a good fight. Fought a couple other guys. He won some. He lost some. Always had exciting fights. And then he got cut. Then he fought like some weird promotion. What was that thing? What did you fight in? What was that?
Well, I fought XMMA, and I fought I think it was XMMA was the new one, and NFC. XMMA.
Yeah, he was like fighting in barns and like homeless shelters.
Yeah.
So then
the movies you see on like Amazon Prime, where like these people are fighting, and you're like, what promotion is this?
Mansion fights and shit. So then he goes and takes a fight on like 8-day notice. He misses weight. Right. But then you said for your last fight, you said you let your coach take over. You said you gave it up to your coach. Now, what does that mean for all the people watching this?
His coach is Jesus.
Yeah.
Not for real. I see him as like that for real. But what I mean, I gave full control to my coach is I've been doing this sport for going on 13 years. My coach has been doing and living this sport for over 30 years. You know what I mean? So I just gave him the reins. Like, my coach has been doing this since back in the 90s and like late 80s. You know what I mean? So he knows his stuff. He's like very old school, and I love that. You know what I mean? So he just the new age, we have all these new things. Oh, we believe this is going to help us fight. This is going to make us help us fight better. But coach is like, nah, man, get out there, run, train. That's it. You know what I mean? I just gave coach my full reins of what I do. And I got a second round finish, man. So I'm expecting the same this fight. You know, coach has full reins again. Whatever he says, do, I'm doing.
That's what I, you know what, you know, your story. I love Henry Cejudo. He's one of my favorite people in the world. One of my best friends. But his last time, his coach was telling me he wanted to do his own training camp, bring in his own people, make his own schedule. And I'm just like, when has that ever worked? It seems like that only works with Conor McGregor for a little bit. And then you get elite guys who just, Don, were you ever that guy? Did you ever make your own?
It only works. It works in the Rocky movie, man.
Yeah, so. Rocky Balboa. That's who does it.
Yeah.
Don, that was your problem, right? Excellent. Wasn't that your problem when you were training Brock Lesnar, right? And Mark Kerr stepped in and was like trying to tell you how to do it. Wasn't that one of the issues there?
Yeah. Just one day, I didn't train Lesnar. He came down, you know, one day, it was one workout, and he brought Kerr with him, and Kerr, he said, jump in and interrupted everything. And everything he said was fucking idiotic. And, you know, he was so doped up. So I'm sure he's better now that he's off the stuff, you know. But, it was... The wrong intelligence was he was getting.
Now, Jared, are you at a camp with a lot of
information?
A lot of pros in your camp, what's your camp like?
Believe it or not, it's just me and my coach right now. Like I have.
Oh, come on, what was I just saying?
I'm not believing. Like I said, I'm not in full control of my camp. My coach is, but like I said, I have my jiu-jitsu gym I go to, and like. Those like there's no pros out there either, so just doing jiu-jitsu out there. So yeah, right now it's just me and my coach, man. And it was the same way last fight. You're gonna see the same result this fight, man. And,
all right, so I'm betting on your opponent. What's his name?
Hey, go ahead, man. I'm betting on myself this fight.
Too, I'm betting on you. 10 out of 10 times I'm betting on you because you're like the Terminator. These people, they hit you, but you keep going. I honestly think that you would have won every single fight if there were no rounds.
100%.
Because he's one of these guys, Bill, that like you can't hurt him.
Can't knock him out?
No, he has no neck. So you know they say, like his chin is part of his belly button. It's like you can't hurt this guy. You can't hurt this guy. You're not gonna hurt him.
You've never been knocked out before in a fight?
I've been TKO'd. I've never been knocked out. Like I was TKO'd, but I was still conscious. But I've been stopped.
Exactly. Now, why night train?
I love this story. The reason night train is because when I was amateur, I went 6-1 as an amateur. My last amateur fight, I won the Georgia amateur belt, and my uncle was there with us, and he watched my fight. And my uncle used to draw for Marvel or DC. I keep forgetting to ask him which one, but he used to draw for them. And so we made it back to the house. I'm with my belt and with my girl at the time. And my mom's looking at my uncle. She's like, what would you name him? Because she hated my nickname at the time. My nickname was like My Bad. She was like, what would you name him if you could? And my uncle just stared at me. He's just like, all intense. Like, and out of nowhere, he's like, Night Train. And I'll never forget. He's like, he held it out. He's like, Night Train. That was so funny to me. I asked him why. And he was like, because you're always moving forward in a fight like a train. And you're dark as fuck. I'm like, you bastard.
Your nickname was My Bad.
Yeah.
That's the worst. Like you hit someone and you're like, My Bad, My Bad. Like, I can't think of a.
Literally.
You might as well be the cuck. that's horrible. My Bad.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. My mom hated that nickname. But yeah, I'm glad my uncle came out with Night Train, man. I'll admit, at first I didn't like it, but. I told my coaches like the next day and it stuck.
My Bad is what I tell a girl when I bust too early.
Like, you're not the only one.
Well, listen, Jared, I'm a fan for life. Thank you for coming on. Where can people follow you?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram, which is Night Train MMA 23. Find me on Twitter, capital J, capital G, Night Train 23. So I can't talk, right? Man, bro, I want to thank you for this interview, man. You're awesome. I want you to know you had me cracking up the entire time.
No worries. Can I
please ask one question?
Sure.
May I ask Mr. Fry? Man, may I please ask you?
Yes, sir.
May I ask you, what is the best thing that fighting has brought to you in life, if I can ask?
Not Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I guess.
Don, can you hear him? All right. The best thing the fighting has brought to me is lots of pussy. I've had so many girls sit on that fucking mustache. Not my ex-wife,
too.
My ex-wife took half my shit. Fucking that fucking whore. If you see her, why don't you give her that nitrine cock of yours? She needs some fuck dick. She probably has already had about fucking 87 fucking nitrines. That's all she does is get a fucking caboose run on her. Yeah, dude. It's horrible. That fucking... Don, can you hear us now?
Yo.
Don?
All right, yeah.
Also, I think Night Train triggered him. He left.
But yeah, it's been the best. When I beat Dan Severn, that bitch ass pussy. Not Dan Severn, Ken Shamrock, that fucking pussy. Tell him he's a Don. Can you, is there any way he could get better Wi-Fi? This is a good question, Don. All right, Don.
Is there more than half, buddy?
All right, Don. What's the best thing?
Engineer.
Yeah. All right. So Jared asked you, Jared, you want to ask him again?
100%. Mr. Fry, what's the best thing fighting has brought to you?
Yeah, what's the best thing?
Yes, sir.
Well, besides money, you know, it exposed me. It exposed me to myself what it really was, you know, that I really was better than what I thought I was. You know?
That's beautiful. That's deep.
And in some ways, I was worse than I thought it was, too.
Yes, sir. I get what you mean.
What weight are you, partner?
I'm sorry?
Yeah. What weight are you nowadays?
Yes, sir. I fought at welterweight. 170. Yes, sir. I fought at 170 at welterweight. But I'm walking around 190 good, right now. Sir.
Yeah. Well, Don, let's let him go.
What is the weight?
He fights at 170, but he walks right at like 190.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
What is welterweight? 170, 75? What is it?
170.
Yes, sir.
All right, so this 25-pound weight cut. That ain't bad.
Yeah,
ain't bad shit.
His cock is 9 pounds, so you know that's a thing. All he's gotta do is get shrinkage and it fucking shrivels up. So
yeah.
Bro, hey, can I tell you something real quick, man? Hey, look, I'll never forget. There was a fight I took. I was at least 25 years old. I had to cut weight. I had to cut 25 pounds in 3 days, right? I remember being in an Epsom salt bath in my tub just dying. I remember the day of weigh-ins. I'm just in the tub and I happen to look down and I'm just like I'm just flicking my dick. I'm just like, whose little dick is this? Because it wasn't like, it wasn't mine, man.
Well, like, now you know what it feels like.
It's not mine.
Well, now you know how we feel, asshole. All right.
I would never say that. Y'all kill me. That was awesome.
That's like, yeah, he's like,
my dick. You nicknamed it Adam.
Yeah, he
nicknamed it Adam Hunter.
Yeah, the Adam.
Come on, little Adam. Come on, little Adam. Get up.
Went from Night Train to fucking Day Shift.
Right.
Well, listen, Jared, thank you for everything, man. Good luck in your fight, and take care, brother.
Thank you, guys. Y'all be safe, guys. Thank you, and again, thank you to the legend, Don Fry.
All right, that was Jared.
Good luck, brother. Good luck.
Nice guy, fucking great guy, right?
Yeah.
Good guy, man. Shit, yeah.
So he was supposed to come on in a half an hour. So the show got kind of swapped, but it is what it is. By the way, I got to talk to you, man. So I'm on that Russell Peters tour and it's the greatest, like everything is, you know, first class, 5-star hotels, Rolls Royce, $35 million mansion we're staying in. And the whole time, my 8,000 people a show. And I'm telling myself, this is not your tour.
All you had to do is carry his luggage, huh?
Yeah. All I got to do is blow him and carry his luggage. And I'm telling myself, this is not my tour. Don't get used to this. All right. Now I'm back to Spirit Airlines, middle seat. I'm staying at the Comfort Inn. And I fucking got used to it. It's like banging.
Yeah, you spoiled real fast. Yeah.
Real fast. Did that ever happen to you, Don?
Yeah, when I was on that movie, Miami Vice, I was sitting outside the outside bar with Colin Farrell a couple of times. And, you know, the guy just sticks his head out the door. Women come running, you know. So I just, all these women come up and start talking to him and, you know, blah, blah. And then they look at me, what did you do? I carry his luggage.
What did you play in Miami Vice?
Not much. I got killed by Jamie Foxx in the trailer. You know, it was great. I was there for like 2 months, I think. And then they switched my
All right, yeah, Don. I love you to death.
One
Don.
Time I did a.
I love yeah, you. You're my but, favorite. You're my favorite human being in the world. I love you. You're the uncle I always wanted, right? But this is what I'm. But you're talking, and I'm engaged, and then I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So I could pretend to like listen to understand what you're saying and laugh and like be like aha, but. But I don't think you deserve that because I really want to hear that. Is there any place? Where the Wi-Fi is better?
I don't know. Fuck, I have to go back and lay in bed. Let me lay in the bed.
So Jamie Foxx. So Jamie Foxx killed you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I gotta watch that movie again. That Miami Vice again. Just is your part big done? Are you in a lot?
No. No. Don't say a fucking word. I didn't even know it was me. It was so fast, you know. It's at the end of the movie. The end of the movie where he comes into the trailer to save his girlfriend, and then I jump up with a bat, swing a bat. He ducks. He stabs me and it shoots me in the back of the head.
Well, I mean, it sounds like that took what, one day of filming.
Yeah, it took one day of filming, but I was there for 2 months. You know.
Oh, shit. Why do they have you there for 2 months?
It was great. I guess they didn't know what the hell to do with me. Shit, I don't know. I did a stunt. I had a different part at first to where he rings the doorbell and I answered the door. And he says pizza. And I reach for the pizza and he sweeps my arm and it throws me up from the trailer steps down to the patio. He did it 13 fucking times. And wow. There was no pad. No fucking pad. Yeah, that's when my back was bad. And it really went bad after that.
Dude, I booked an ASICS commercial one time to be a wrestler, right? And in the audition, I was throwing everyone around because it was a couple guys wrestled like, you know, middle school, high school, but no one really knew how to wrestle. So I was like doing like Japanese arm throws and all these, you know, cool things. And then I booked it and the kid they had me with was like, I never wrestled before. I'm like, well, why did you get this? So he didn't know how to land. So I'm trying to throw him on his head and he doesn't know how to land. So he's getting hurt, you know, and I'm being gentle. So then they get rid of him. Like they fire him on the set and bring in a fucking D1 All-American, like guy ranked third in the fucking world. And then I'm playing the dummy part. And then I get thrown for like 9 hours. I get thrown on my fucking head. What a shitty turn of events that came out to be. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. All it takes is one person not liking the way you look. Oh, he has a mustache. I don't like the mustache, or you know, or he reminds me of my uncle who touched me. You know. So all it takes is. One fucking producer, and you're fucked.
By the way, Don, you like my shirt?
Yeah, I do, man. Style. Thank you. Thank you.
I've worn this.
I like it a lot.
This is my favorite shirt. I wear it everywhere, by the way.
Yeah.
So,
what the fuck is that?
It doesn't matter. The people that know. Bill, what's going on with you? Let me guess. You're on the set of a crazy movie or something. What's going on with you?
No set for me, man. I'm home with bronchitis.
What happened?
That's why you say I'm manly.
Don't make me laugh. I'll cough. Yeah, I don't know, man. Have you ever had like acute bronchitis where you like can't literally fucking? It's like in your lungs for weeks and shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just in that
space. Yeah, I fought Aki Bono like that.
No way.
I had bronchitis when I fought Aki Bono. Yeah. Had a bad back and bronchitis. Then I had a really bad back after the fight.
But your bronchitis was cured.
So I just.
Yeah, yeah. He knocked it out of me. Yeah.
So I literally went from like, I went from US to Dubai to South Africa to Egypt to Oman, I know, to Doha to Saudi to India. I was home for 3 days, did a cruise ship, went to Honduras, flew from Honduras back to LA. I was home for one day, went to Vegas, went to New York, and now I'm in El Paso, all in the last month. So I'm just like, that's why there hasn't been a podcast in 2 weeks, by the way.
But you know, you can slow down a little bit. After all that, you didn't have to go to El Paso.
I didn't have to do a lot of this shit. Problem is I'm a whore.
He's trying to sneak into the country.
Dude, seriously, I'm right there. I'm 5 miles. I'm 5 minutes from where all those people jumped the border. And I even said, I'm like, they're all coming to my show tonight. I'm like, that way they'll run back into Mexico.
No, they'd be going the other way. Yeah. They had tickets to your show, they'd be going the other way.
100%. So I'm on a cruise, and there are these two like beautiful black women who are like in their 20s and their mom. And I'm like, oh, what's your name? One of them's name was Heaven, which like, don't name your kid Heaven. Like, cause every time someone bangs her, they're like, I'm in heaven. You know, like I'm ready to go to heaven. Right.
Yeah. Where's the stairway? Right.
I'm coming to heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then I was reading about this couple that named their kids during COVID, COVID and Corona. They had two twins named COVID and Corona. Oh my God. They probably have older siblings named AIDS and cancer.
Brilliant.
Like, why would they? So that was crazy. And then I did a show on Ontario Improv, right? So I'm on a show. It's me and Chris Spencer. So before I go on, somebody was like, hey, listen, before you go on, some guy wants to propose to his wife on the stage, right? Which, you know, is not.
What do you think about that, Adam? Because I actually think that's fun.
No.
I know some comics hate it.
Of course. Well, do it after the show, at the end, or before the show, but like in the middle of the show when you got to follow that, right? And it was like this like Mexican dude wearing like a Raiders jersey, right? And they've been together for like 14 years. So the host brings him up. First, they're like, he's like, why don't you, how long have you been together? Oh, 14 years. When are you going to marry her? And the guy's like, funny you should ask. So the guy gets on stage, right? And brings his girlfriend on stage. And then he's like, he makes a speech. And the speech is like, yo, I know I haven't been a good boyfriend to you, but things are going to change. Like,
they always do.
Your sister pregnant. And I banged your mom, and I owe you money, you know.
Right.
I haven't had a job in 10 years. But
they already have 3 kids together, right? So then I go on afterwards, and I'm like, well, what does that even mean? Did he cheat? Like, yeah, so everyone's dying laughing. I'm like, I give this marriage a week, right? So then, like, they came up to me afterwards. And they were like, oh, that was really funny. That was so, they gave me hugs. Thank God. Dude, then there was a comic I met, right? I'm not going to say his name. So I met this comic. It was right after I shot my special in Vegas. And I go to this comedy club. They're having a Christmas party. And there's a comic there who I've known for years. Really great comic. But he's like in tears. And I'm like, oh, what's the matter, man? He's like,
oh, yeah, you're special. Yeah, that was great. Thanks for the invitation. I really enjoyed it, man. It was fucking fantastic. Yeah.
No problem. So the guy's in tears, and I'm like, well, what's the matter? And he's like, dude, my wife's doing OnlyFans now. He's like, well, I haven't worked, and she's getting naked in the kitchen, and she's like fingering herself and showing her asshole, and they have a kid, you know. And he's like, and he said he wants to leave, but she's bringing all kinds of money, right? So what would you tell somebody like that, Don?
Kill himself?
No. Oh, fuck, I got no idea. Yeah, you know what? At least he's making money instead of, you know, at least she's sharing the money instead of keeping it for herself, like mine did, you know. Fuck.
So I didn't know what to say. So I was like, man, you know, hang in there. But so I tell my friend, we have a mutual friend, and I'm like, dude, did you hear that what's his name's wife has OnlyFans? He's like, I know, I joined it.
Oh my God.
He's like, I tell
the first one.
He's like, that's how I support his family. It's like,
but there's also different types of OnlyFans. There's OnlyFans. There's OnlyFans.
No, she's like not the good kind. She's the finger.
So she's banging other dudes on it.
No, but she's showing her asshole and like fingering herself and showing her titties. And so anyway, they're like They're like divorced now because I ran into them again and they're like divorced. And I told them, I said, man, I don't care how bad the money gets. I would never let my wife have a thing where she fingers herself. You know, I don't care if I have to drive Uber all fucking week and do whatever, you know, but I'm not letting my wife.
Yeah, but she'd be doing her only, she'd be doing her only fan page while you're driving Uber, man. Fuck.
That's the thing. And that's why she's doing OnlyFans.
Let's say they start.
You're an Uber driver.
Yeah, once they decide to do something like that. Yeah. But.
I agree.
You would let your wife do that, Bill?
Well, I mean, that's such a weird, because I would never marry some dumb bitch who didn't OnlyFans. Ever. Like, the type of woman I would be with right. is the woman who would consider it.
Yeah, well, I guess she was a dancer.
I don't know, man. That's
why I'm single too. So what am I? Who am I talking?
Don, you would not let your girl do an OnlyFans.
Right.
There's no way, Don. You would let your wife do OnlyFans. No way.
No.
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 But the type of woman who does
it. I thought I married a girl that wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But Adam, this is my theory. The woman who did the OnlyFans, she was always that bitch. She was always a nasty, dusty slut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like she became one because of times was tough. Yeah.
All right, I'm not saying all OnlyFans people are nasty, dusty sluts, and I don't think Bill's saying that either. I'm just saying that I wouldn't want my personal wife, anyone having access to her vagina and asshole. I like to feel like I'm a member of an elite club of one, where I'm the only person that gets to see her asshole and her vagina, and I don't want anyone with $25 to be able to see that.
We all like to feel that way, but... We all like to feel that way, but sometimes we find out otherwise.
For the record, I shame sex workers. For the record, I don't care. Don't cut it. Sex work is not work. It's bullshit, and it contributes to child trafficking. All of it does.
No, I disagree because I disagree because there was a girl I used to date who was a stripper, and I dated a lot of strippers in my life, right? And even some porn stars. Okay, so
some are still alive.
I wouldn't marry them, but there was a one. Who from Hungary, this girl from Hungary that was sending money home to her family. She was stripping and she was helping her family with the money she did by stripping. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in Cindy Dandois, who has the five kids, who has an OnlyFans, but she's supporting her family doing that. There's no shame in that. But if I'm married to somebody, I'm taking the financial responsibility for that. Okay, I'm not allowing my wife to anyone your coochie. And look, I'm not saying, you know, someone has cancer and you got to show your pussy to fucking save someone's life.
How many people are showing their pussy to for cancer? Come on,
show my pussy for cancer.
I'm saying new way to fight cancer.
That's the name of my next my next comedy special. Show my pussy for cancer. So anyway, all right. Another thing. So Vegas. I tell you what happened in Vegas. It was the gig that I got you, Bill. So Don, I get this gig, right? This guy hits me up and he's like, "Hey, are you still doing comedy?" Which is always like an insult, right? When someone says he's still doing comedy, you're like, "Great, that's
right."
You know, Megan Olivi asked me that, and I was like, "Ugh," right?
That's amazing.
Yeah, right. So I get a text. Hey, I'm like, yeah. He's like, I met you with Coolio, right? I never met Coolio, but I'm like, all right. He's like, I want to book you at Coolio's Social Club, right? And if you heard this story before, I don't care. So next thing I know, I'm on a flight, first class Spirit, which, by the way, first class Spirit is like being the best looking girl on the View. You know, it's not really.
There's a first class Spirit?
Yeah, there's a first class Spirit Airlines. It just means like you're sitting down or something, right? So I like.
You have a seatbelt for free.
Yeah, you don't have to hang on like this, like in the bus. That's what it means.
So I fly out, right? Yeah. And then the guy picks me up. I'm staying at a place called the We Are In, right? We Are In, INN. Like that's, and they give me a key. Like it's not even like, they don't even have room keys, like an actual metal key for my room, right? So I get to the gig. It's in like a VFW type hall, but not even like there's like slot machines everywhere. But the guys told me, the guy in charge told me, oh, it's not gambling. It's actually just video games that you could win money that take. He somehow got this cleared, right? And I get there and I'm like, how come you didn't pick me up? So the guy drove his car into a dam, the guy in charge, right? And so his car was like hanging off. It was a meme. that said like catch of the day where they were fishing out his car from the dam, right? And I was like, were you like, damn, right? So I get there and the opener is this lesbian, butch lesbian chick, but says she's not a lesbian, but she fucks her husband in the ass, who's in jail. And she's creeping the people out. There's like 20 people there, probably about 20 teeth, right? And she's freaking them out, right? And then there's a guy with an eye patch that was like, hey, next time I'll pick you up from the thing. I'm like, I like my drivers to have two eyes, but thank you. And he also brought his own moonshine, right? People had their own moonshine there, right? So this was the crowd. So the next
day. I can confirm all of this, by the way.
The next day, the lesbian doesn't come back. She bombs so bad, she does 4 minutes. So then the guy's like, I got to fill 3 hours. So I'm like, I'll do an extra hour and a half. He's like, I'll pay you X amount cash. So he gives me fuck a stack of cash, like all hundreds. And then I go on, I fucking kill it. Have a
you,
drink. Just,
you fucked up by selling.
So then there's like a fight. Like somebody.
You might want to erase this.
So why?
That money was obtained legally.
Yes.
Legally done.
Yeah, legally. So then there was like a fight that breaks out. Somebody starts heckling. The bouncer takes him in the back. I hear the guy getting beat up during the show. You hear like, ow, 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 right? So then so then the guy's like, I want you to write this.
Ow, ow,
ow, ow, ow, you're hitting me.
I'm covering the bouncer. You bit my fingernail. Oh, that hurts.
So then another guy tells me that he's with this girl and they like to pee on each other and they make pee tapes together. It was a whole fucking thing. Anyway, the guy hires me to write a musical. I never wrote a musical before in my life, but I actually wrote a Vegas musical. So then I write a musical based on this concept.
Peeing in the rain?
Yeah, peeing in the rain. Right, exactly. So then they fly me out last week to Vegas to film, to record the beginning of the musical, to make the trailer.
To record the musical?
I mean, to film the sizzle for it, right?
Okay.
It's like a rock musical. It's actually, they have a great band. It actually might make it. They say they have a deal in place. So, they want me to be the host. They pick me up from the airport, right? And there's a guy in the back who's like 65, 70-year-old Italian guy. And I asked the guy, my friend, I'm like, where'd you guys meet? He's like, oh, we met in prison. I go, oh, okay. He goes, he was the magician and I was the rock star. And we used to always win every prison talent show, right? So, and then he's like, next time you're in town.
You make things disappear up your ass.
He's like, next time you're in town, I'll take you gun shooting with machine guns. I'm like, and ATVs. I got Don, you got to meet this guy. This guy's right up your alley, dude. So that was and then some of the jokes I wrote, though, they didn't tell the band that I was the comic in the musical because they had these like three black singers and like all these great singers. But I was doing like Michael Jackson jokes. Like I said, I saw the Michael Jackson, you know, review in Vegas, and it was so realistic. Halfway through it, Michael Jackson starts fucking kids, right? And then they get angry. I could tell they get like annoyed, like no more Michael Jackson jokes. So that was last week. And then I flew out to do Gutfeld again. Oh, but my dad came to visit me, by the way. My dad's sober now. And I love my dad to death. But when he's sober, he's not, because there was a time where like I had a dog, Don. My dog bit everybody. It was used as bait for pit bull fighting. Like anyone that touched the dog, but my dog would bite. And he had a tough life. My dad hated the dog, but my dad took care of the dog when I wasn't around. And the dog like bit my stepmom in the face. She had to go get like surgery. Just like this dog should have been put down 100 million times, but I like loved it. Anyway, one day my dad's like, hey, how's your dog doing? And I'm like, great. He's like, I miss that guy. I'm going to go walk him. I'm like, that's a little strange. Like my dad never, I'm like, okay. So I come home, half my weed is missing. I had all this weed. And I'm like, so my dad used my dog as a fucking accomplice to steal my weed. So I'm like, Dad, did you steal my marijuana? And he goes, why? He doesn't even say yes or no.
No, the dog did.
Dude, then there's this like, there's an anchor. There was a KTLA news anchor in my building, right? In my dad's building, right? And she had a dog. And my dog went to bite her dog, right? So she fucking flips. This dog should be, and she's like a big animal activist. And she's like, this dog should be put to sleep. This fucking, just going off. And then my dad's like, calm down, sweetie. My dad's old, my dad's like Don. He's an old school guy. So he's like, calm down, sweetie, right? So then this big security guard comes. We did the podcast. He's 6'6", named Quentin. He's got like 8 kids. Huge black dude. Great guy. And so he tells me, he's like, dude, your dad's a legend. He's like, why? He goes, this woman says, you were sexually advancing on me by calling him sweetie. And my dad goes, not, he goes, not on your best day. So like, then my dad tells me he's in the elevator with her, right? That this chick from KTLA, right? From the news anchor. And he's with his, my dad's with his wife. And he's like, you know who I think's really, and he's pretending that she's not there. And he goes, you know who I think's really pretty on KTLA? And then names like 7 other news anchors and doesn't name her. just a fucking, anyway. So, anyway, then I got off the plane and I
was. Your dad likes to stir this shit.
Yeah, dude. Seriously. Sorry, that does like. So then I got off the plane from.
I didn't realize your dad was remarried again.
Yeah, yeah, he's married for the third time. She's the one. She's awesome. I told her out of all my moms, I like you the best.
And she's so, younger than you.
No. She's not. She's actually age appropriate. She's like Don's age. So she's still moving. She's like Don. She's on her back a lot. I'm kidding. So I get off the plane, Bill, and I go to this daddy and daughter donut day at school. I go right from LAX to meet my kid because all the daddies and daughter donut at her Christian school, right? So and then I have to go to chapel. And as a Jew, I just love that, right? Because I'm learning how like the Jews killed Jesus for Easter.
Bastards.
Like nothing like they dude.
Yeah, but you know what? The Jews killed Jesus. If it wasn't for the Jews, the Christians wouldn't have a fucking religion. You know, come on.
Exactly.
They all won. Jeez.
When I was in Egypt, when we saw the pyramids, someone's like, "You think the Jews killed the pyramids?" I'm like, "No, they would have hired Mexicans." but meanwhile, you know, my kid goes to that school because of the murder that happened. I told you about the murder at my kid's school, right?
Yeah.
One of the boys' parents had the father kill the mother and her parents, chopped up the mother, who was the sweetest woman ever, and then hired Mexicans to get rid of the bodies in garbage bags. And then they found belly buttons in garbage bags, and then they returned it, and they still haven't. So
how many people did they kill?
He killed 3. He killed his wife and her parents. And they chopped them up and put them in garbage bags. And then there's video of him moving the garbage bags into dumpsters. The guy is like the worst fucking serial killer ever, or murderer ever. The fucking, he's a horrible person, awful. I hope he gets death penalty. But I didn't want to explain to my kid that this is the second incident that happened at that school. Not the first one wasn't as severe as that, but the second thing. But like, so we're sitting in church the first day I'm in church, and the pastor is like, you know, you're all here because you know, you guys need Jesus in your life. And I'm like, I'm here because William's dad's a psycho. But anyway. And then last night, I'm in El Paso last night, and I'm on stage. I'm fucking like, I don't even know what time zone I'm in. Of course, I get a heckler. This like Mexican woman just yelling shit out the whole time. Just yelling stuff. And she was like, I was like, do you have a boyfriend? And she's like, no. And I'm like, well, I think there's hope for you on Love is Blind and Deaf. And then just fucking killed her. Have you ever almost lost a crowd, Bill, with the point where you almost thought you couldn't get him back?
Oh my God. Yeah, of course. I'm just trying to think the last time it happened to me. And I'm trying to think what I did. Usually what's happened is you go into the crowd and the crowd wins when you go back, and you have nothing after that. Oh, and then it's gone. You need something really good even when you lose.
Right.
And if you don't have that, man, you're done. They own it.
Well, I like doing the rope-a-dope strategy where you let the heckler get off one And then he gets comfortable and he forgets it. And the whole time he's thinking, I got you. And then you wait 10, 15 minutes and then you just fucking bury him, you know? Because then he's like, oh shit. Like he thought the fight was over and you just, that's my favorite is like the rope-a-dope. But I remember I was in Modesto right when the Gary Condit thing happened. Remember Gary Condit? There was like an intern missing and Scott Peterson killed Lacey Peterson in this little town called in Modesto. So I go up there and I go, it's like 80% Mexican. It's a place called Fat Cats. And I was like, yo, it's great to be here. You know, you hear so many great things about this place on the news, right? And that gets a laugh. And I go, man, you got Gary Condit, you have Lacey Peterson, I go, what's in the water here? Oh yeah, Lacey Peterson.
Oh man.
Dude, the place went from laughing to straight booing.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that's cool.
It was. And then I got him back. Oh. I somehow got him back, but I almost got booed off immediately. Like that set almost lasted 30 seconds, you know.
You're at the her class reunion, you know. Fuck you got to time this stuff.
Yeah, you got to time this stuff.
You gotta know your audience,
right?
Actually,
yeah, right.
Adam, have you been to a place in Temecula called Bastard's Canteen?
No.
There's a giant painting at the back of the stage. It's kind of like a military.
What is that? Is
and the painting is of the guy who was like the sergeant who ran this platoon who died in the war in Afghanistan or something, but it looks like Fidel Castro.
Oh no.
So yes, I'm killing 30 minutes straight. And then all of a sudden I turn around, I go, why is there a giant picture of Fidel Castro? I'm sorry, Justin Trudeau behind me or something like that. I made a Justin Trudeau. The audience went like pin, and this is all military people.
Oh no. It went
pin drop quiet. And somehow I got back. By the end, I had, you know how polite military people are.
Yeah.
But they were like quietly seething and wanting to kill. And one of them was like, you know, you're lucky because that was our platoon leader who died. And I mean, I was like, fuck it, dude. That's pretty bad.
How are you supposed to know? You know?
I know. I didn't know. Well, probably not being an idiot considering it's a show for this guy. Yeah. There's a painting of
him. So, Bill, how's it going with the baby mama?
It's going. We're getting along.
Does she want you to be exclusive to her and live at home and do the whole thing or no?
I mean, does she want to get back together with me?
Yeah.
I think most single moms probably want to get back together with their ex, even if they hate them. Just for convenience, you know.
They want the money. They want the fucking money. Yeah.
Well, she's getting the money.
They need the help. They need the cash.
Dude, my daughter.
They want the time to go out bang somebody else.
Yeah.
My 5-year-old goes, Daddy, you want to see an impression of mommy? And I go, sure. She goes, oh, why does daddy make my life so difficult? I was like, I was dying. And I go, Brie, you want to see the impression? And she was not happy about this impression. I thought she'd find it funny. She did not find that funny at all. By the way, Dom, did you ever meet Buff Bagwell?
Yeah, he's a good guy. Nice guy, yeah.
Did you watch the documentary about
him? Why? No.
Oh, dude, there's a documentary.
No, what happened?
There's a documentary called The Dark Side of the Ring, right? If you ever want to see a really depressing but great documentary, there's about 5 seasons of it. I think you watch them all on Hulu. And they talk about all these wrestlers where like some tragedy should happen, like the Macho Man or this or that. So now they're on to Buff Bagwell. And he seemed like a good dude. Like he was a male stripper. He knocked up him. He had a tough, his father was abusive. His father was like threatening to like murder the mother or something. So he shot his father 5 times, like growing up because the mom was threatened. And the father actually like thanked him afterwards, said, I would have done the same thing. Like after, and then he goes into the WWE and he goes into,
wait, five different times.
No,
five
once.
Different times. No, five no, times once. One
like,
city.
Like, okay, like, remember no. The second time I shot you? Don't make me a third dad.
No, yeah, you made it sound like you was.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I can understand why you would get confused. Right. So then he goes into wrestling and he's doing great. Like he's in the, you know, I mean, he's roided out of his mind. He's a fucking psycho. The guy gets, he hates the way his legs look. So he gets calf implants to, so that his calves look bigger, which he almost dies immediately.
Yeah.
Like the wrong, have you ever heard of calf implants, Don?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah. They accused Schwarzenegger of that. You know, fucking 50 years ago, right?
I think I remember that. I remember that, yeah.
Well, this guy really did have calf implants. Mm-hmm. Right? So then he ends up getting calf implants, and then he ends up, he had, like, a weird storyline where his mom, his like, real mom was in there, and she was getting, like, beat up, and him and his mom won, yada, yada. Anyway, so, of course, Vince McMahon buys the WCW, and he comes over, and the first match wasn't good. I think he was like, and then it goes down to like, he gets hooked on pills and he ends up being like a male gigolo. He goes on the show Gigolos and doesn't realize he has to be a real gigolo. Ends up like fucking this girl. He does a bunch of like B Cinemax movies but he can't get it up. And then he just gets into this like pills, depression, alcohol. And then now he's sobered up thanks to Diamond Dallas Page. And he's like doing better again, buff the stuff. But man,
Wait, have you seen the Iron Claw?
No, I've not seen it.
Don, have you seen the Iron Claw?
I haven't seen that yet.
I'm telling you guys, you gotta watch. Oh, you seen it? It's about the family, no. The I don't
the
know
Von Erich.
The wrestling the
Von
family,
the Von Erichs.
Yeah.
Von
Erich. Yeah,
I didn't know how that story is the craziest story I've ever heard. Just for one family, all that shit that happened to them. It's insane.
Yeah, it is crazy.
You watch it. It's really good. You should just look. Hey, no homo. Zac Efron's a good actor.
He is a good actor. He is a really good actor. And then fighting. So by the way, tonight there's Bellator is in Ireland tonight. No one knows about it. No, they don't tell anyone about it. I think it's another one of these secret shows they have. It's Corey Anderson. He's a good fighter. He's fighting Carl Moore, who's from Ireland. Who's 12-2. Corey Anderson should win. The Pitbull is fighting Jeremy Kennedy. Fabian Edwards, who's Leon Edwards' brother, is fighting Aaron Jeffrey. Those are all good fighters. Good fights. Tomorrow night in the UFC, Cody Gibson, who's a guy that got cut from the UFC. He became a school teacher, or he was a school teacher. He's still a school teacher. He's fighting Miles John. Muhammad Usman's brother is fighting. It's the first fight of the night, according to MMA Junkie. He won the Ultimate Fighter. Kurt Hollabaugh is fighting. And then Amanda Ribas is fighting Rose Namajunas. Rose left her trainer, Trevor Whitman, and is back to having Greg Nelson. You know Greg Nelson, right, Don?
No, from Texas.
I think he's from Minnesota. He was Brock Lesnar's coach.
Oh yeah, no, I don't know him. No.
Yeah, yeah. So he's back.
I think so.
He's back to that. She's back to him. And then Knucklemania 4 is coming up. Thiago Alves versus Mike Perry. It's in Los Angeles, and Mario Lopez is emceeing it, or is somehow
really
involved. Yeah. Mario Lopez, and then also Ben Rothwell is fighting Todd Duffy, but that's not this weekend. That's in a couple weeks. Knucklemania 4. So
Knucklemania 4.
Now, Don, are you part of the UFC? Don, are you part of the UFC settlement?
What's that?
Are you part of the settlement? The UFC settlement?
No. I'm not part of any. What settlement is going on now?
Well, they settled. Basically, it was a class action. It was a UFC antitrust lawsuit. And I think it was they won $335 million, I think. Again,
who won?
The fighters.
Who did?
The fighters, which people are saying that
for what?
For let me see if I could read this to you, because I'm not great with this, but a lot of fighters are saying that actually it wasn't a big win for the fighters. Other people are saying, you know, it was the best offer on the table. Let's see if I could get this. Here we go. Dan Hardy says that this is good because he walked away from the GSP fight with $5,000. He fought for the title and cleared $5,000, which
that's insane.
Is there any way that's true, Don? I mean, I believe him. But
yeah. You be that stupid. You overpay your manager. You overpay your trainer. You know, you incur a bunch of expenses. You know, traded for the fight. Yeah, it's real easy to walk away $5,000 after your expenses are fucking done. You know.
Yeah. So, lawyer, agent, I mean, manager.
You got to keep an eye on. Yeah, you got to keep an eye on your fucking agent and manager because, like, mine stole $1 million from me from that Shamrock fight, you know? And I got no way to fucking prove it.
Fuck, that sucks. So here we go. Let me see what we got here.
Yeah.
Here we go. Jeremy Kennedy doesn't buy a pit bull. Dana White. The UFC antitrust settlement. Here we go. UFC reached an agreement to close out antitrust lawsuits. Promotion agrees to pay out $335 million. Right. So UFC has reached a settlement agreement for a pair of antitrust lawsuits that will no longer go to trial. The parent company filed a disclosure with the Securities S&E Commission, revealing the organization has settled with the aggrieved parties in two separate lawsuits, and the company agreed to pay out $305 million. It was listed, the plaintiffs in the class, it's Lee et al. Versus Zuffa. They numbered about 1,200 fighters. Experts estimated potential damages they suffered between $894 million and $1.6 billion, though a trial would have determined the final number. The plaintiffs from two separate lawsuits by fighters such as Kung Lee, Nate Quarry, and Cajun Johnson were in private mediation with the UFC. So I'm not sure how much each fighter is going to get or what. They say people are saying it's a huge victory for the UFC.
Right.
I don't know. So
what did you say? What did you say the estimate was between what and a billion? $800 million and a billion, you said? Yeah,
that's what they wanted. According to Nate Quarry, right now there's a lot I can't say with that. No, we didn't get everything we wanted. Our goal all along was to change the sport. However, we had quite a few delays we had to deal with. Weighing on all possible outcomes, it seemed like the best outcome. We're not high-fiving one another. We're pleased that a lot of the fighters are going to be getting some compensation for being underpaid. Wish we could have done more. It's very easy to sit in the cheap seats and criticize. Yeah, you know, I'm not sure exactly what everyone got, but so.
You know. I mean, $335 million seems like a lot to spread out. That's a lot.
Yeah. Divided.
How many fighters are there?
Divided by, well, it was 1,200 people on the list. And I don't know. I don't know how much the lawyers get. You know, I don't know how.
Oh,
much,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's true. Lawyers. Fucking lawyers get half at least.
Did anyone watch Roadhouse?
Yes.
Right.
How was it?
I did.
No.
What? I was really excited for it. And it becomes like not a good movie. By the end you're like, they fucking blew it.
How was Conor McGregor?
I feel like the director said, "Okay, Conor, just smile like you're crazy like this the whole time. And you're gonna and don't worry about acting. Just go, hey, all right, you wanna fight? Let's go, let's." So he, I don't know why I sound like fucking Crocodile Hunter right now, but he just has this crazy grin. He's all like hunched up. He's fine. I mean, literally, like I would say 40% of the movie is just him and Jake Gyllenhaal shirtless fighting each other. Clearly, there's some fucking a bunch of weird old men jerking off in some corners watching the tapes.
I feel like Tom Fry would have been the best as the Sam. What's his name? The Sam. The older guy.
Sam Elliott.
He would have been a great
character. That character isn't in the movie, though.
That was the best character in the movie.
I agree. That's why this movie fucking sucks.
Sam Elliott was the best one in the movie. He stole the whole movie. Him and Patrick Swayze.
So there's no Sam Elliott, and there's no overboss who's controlling everything. There's a guy calling from prison, and then just Conor McGregor going like, all right, he wants to fight.
The way Bill like knows I'm friends with Russell Peters. So he hits me up and he's like, hey, do you and Russell want to do the show? Which is like saying like, hey man, like I'm like the fat friend that you invite the hot chick with. Like, hey, do you guys want to come over?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a supermodel that fucking you want over, and then it's like I'm the fat. So I'm like, dude, we're not a comedy team, you know? Like,
but
we're
if
not,
you
like,
can't make it, if you can't make it, make sure she can. Yeah.
Right, right. And then I'm like, and then I love Bill, but I'm like, dude, I'm not gonna. If I ask Russell, do you want to do the Laugh Factory? He'll just be like, well, why doesn't Bill ask me? You know, he'll get more annoyed that I asked him.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Then if you ask him, because then he's not an idiot, you know, like he. But if you ask him, he'll be happy. If I ask him, yeah, he'll be like, "Wait, what, am I doing your show?" No,
it's yeah.
And then I don't want also him to think that him showing up is doing me a favor. And no offense, but then he might be like, "Well, if yeah, I don't go, Adam doesn't have a spot," and that makes me feel like a complete fucking loser.
I understand all the on the outside. It's like, hey, you guys been traveling around. You know, Russell, obviously, you're friends, you're good comics. He doesn't want to go solo. So yeah. Like, hey, you guys want to come together. So to me, it's not as Machiavellian as it sounds, but I get how it sounds. So you're on the show anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like I got the consolation prize of like, oh, like if I like, so now I'm on the show, which by the way, I'm already getting yelled at by my wife because I told her I'm taking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off for you. So now I'm like, I'm not that. Now it's date nights done on Wednesday. So I'm going to get yelled at by her. But I'm like, it's the Hollywood Laugh Factory, which is arguably the best club in LA, you know? So, you know, it really is. It really is.
Really?
I think so. Because it's the only club that, like, they don't allow anyone to do. Like, you have to be past there. There's not a club out there that you have to be past at there. Like,
that's true.
The other clubs, you could put on a goldfish as long as it's your night. And, like, Jamie would be like, who is this fucking person? I'm not putting him on, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. It's like the
that's
last.
True.
The last club that they actually do that. I'm in Palm Springs May 2nd at the Aqua Caliente Casino. And then House of Comedy May 9th through 12th, where I'm in Scottsdale, where I'm going to see Don Fry. Sean McCorkle allegedly is coming up that week.
When?
I'm going to see Don Fry. We're going to visit Don. And by the
hell
way.
Hell yeah.
May 12th.
Yeah, May 9th through 12th.
What? May 9th through 12th. Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm gonna be in Scottsdale, but I'm gonna make a stop over in Tucson to see my buddy Don. And thank you guys.
You better, bitch.
You guys are the best. Take care, guys. Love you guys.
Bye bye.